In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today, brothers and sisters, is a beautiful day for us Orthodox Christians in the Byzantine tradition. Today is called Zacchaeus Sunday. And of course, we hear the gospel reading about this beautiful repentant man, Zacchaeus, the tax collector, the hated tax collector, who repented and received the living Christ. For us as Orthodox Christians, this should arouse excitement, because when you hear Zacchaeus Sunday, for those who've been in the church for a while, you know that it tells you that Great Lent is coming. Great Lent is coming. This beautiful time. There's a time before Lent called the Triodion. It's a preparatory time. The Lord knows our weakness and how we have to ease into things. We celebrate for a while, prepare, preparation, fulfillment. And so we prepare to prepare. Right? Lent prepares for Pascha. And the Triodion, this time, prepares our hearts to make good use of this holy time that is coming to us. And so this first signpost in the mountain to Pascha has come upon us today, on this day of Zacchaeus. And for an Orthodox Christian who loves God, he is excited about Lent. He or she is excited about Lent. Not like a worldly person who says, oh, Lent, you can't eat that, you can't. That would be to totally miss the point. Lent and all the fasts of the church, and in fact, every Wednesday and Friday, with a few exceptions, are given to us as fasting days, not as a burden, but as a joy, as a chance to refocus our life and dedicate our life to Christ in this world of constant confusion. I know for myself, I need, and where I used to dread it when I was in college, new Orthodox Christian, very worldly, very attached to things, even though I am still now, over the 20 years as a priest, I'm thankful that I yearn for the fast. I look forward to Wednesdays and Fridays to not eat so much and to not be burdened that way, and to a little more focused. And would that we were always that way. But the church knows our weakness. So let us attend to this beautiful time with anticipation, joy for the spiritual battle we're going to fight. Come in Great Lent to overcome our passions by the grace of God. It's exciting to have the most beautiful Pascha we've ever had in our lives. And it begins now. This is one of my favorite stories and accountings in the New Testament because it's so hopeful. I'm not sure how many of you are listening to the reading. Hopefully you were, but I'll recount it in case. You have Zacchaeus. He's not a good guy. All tax collectors aren't that much of a favorite to anybody, right? But at least in our country, you could argue, okay, you know, at least it's being taken justly in some sense. My point then is, not only was it he was taking it, but he was also putting a bunch of money in his own pocket personally, in addition to going to the government. Second of all, he was doing it to his own people. They were occupied. They were enslaved by the Romans. And he, a Jew, was betraying his own people in addition to kind of lining his own pockets. So a double kind of whammy of hatred for him. He was not a good person. He was a sinner, and he knew it. He knew what he was doing was wrong. He's also kind of an imp. He was small, it said. Small of stature. That means he was a short guy. But it's such an encouraging story. So you take this sinful person, like us, we are really sinful, brothers and sisters. One of the biggest parts of being an Orthodox Christian is a couple small but profound realizations. One, there's a God and I'm not Him. That's a big deal. There's a God and His name is Jesus Christ, one of the Holy Trinity, and He's come to save us, and He can heal every brokenness in us. And we really need it because we're really messed up and broken. That's profound, and it's profoundly necessary to make any progress in the spiritual life, brothers and sisters. It's the gospel, the evangelos, the good news is one, that God became a man to save us, and He established His church, His living, breathing body, and when we're grafted onto it in baptism, and we start taking the medicine, by the grace of God, by His mercy, and by our desire to be healed, our ascesis, the symbiosis, the synergy with God, little by little, we become healed of our sinfulness and our passions, and we put on the virtues of Christ and become, just in small ways, more and more like the saints. It's the only good news in this messed up world. But for that to be tangible to us, we have to keep in front of us that we are sinners. We often forget that. Sometimes we really fall on our face, we know it, but then we convince, okay, that was a mistake, I'm back to being a good person again. And we get that mentality, I'm a good person, and I'm not really sick. Then the physician becomes unnecessary to us. Jesus becomes unnecessary. God, because you got it all figured out, And that's when you fall on your face. That's when misery comes. So it takes more than just a one-time recognition. It's a dying daily, as St. Paul says, with humility. That's the only way to make progress in the spiritual life, is humility. An awareness that we are all broken and messed up. That's all you need to come into these doors of this church. And to be baptized, to come, humble yourself and say, I want to be healed. The Lord often asks people, do you want to be healed? It seems like a dumb question. I'm paralyzed. What do you think? But it's not true. I can tell you as a priest, a lot of people like their sin. They like the pig pen. They don't want to get, they might say they do, but half of them loves the sin. Sleeping with the enemy, so to speak. You hate the enemy, and then you're sleeping with the enemy. So every time we come to church, every time we stay before our icons morning and night, we're renewing our dedication to Christ. We're renewing our awareness that we are really broken, but it's not depressing because we have the great physician. Yeah, lots of people that are sick right now, a couple of babies in the hospital in the parish, a lot of people are sick. It's sad, but the Lord knows what He's doing. But it's good to keep in mind this medicinal analogy is of the fathers, that the church isn't a moral place of morality only, a place of rules and God's angry, none of that. It's a hospital. And what takes place here is called therapia, therapy. Not, you know, psycho mumbo jumbo, not that kind of therapy. True healing. Psychotherapy. You know that word's in Greek? Psyche means soul, therapy, healing. The healing of your soul takes place here. And it takes place with the living Christ. And it's so encouraging today with Zacchaeus. It took place for him. He was a sinner. He was an idiot by all accounts. He sold himself out and he didn't care. He's addicted to his sin. That's us. But God doesn't leave a person like that. He doesn't leave a person. He humbled himself. He climbed that tree. For an old man to climb a tree in those times was very, very not kosher, so to speak. No pun intended, right? It was not considered classy. It was unbecoming a gentleman. He didn't care. He climbed the tree. He was willing to shame himself, what the world cared about him, to see Jesus. Are you willing to shame yourself, to bear some shame of the world, this falling away world, this passing world, so you can see Christ? It's essential for us to have that humility. We often cave to the world, right, rather than loving Christ. And he did, and the Lord called him, Zacchaeus, come down. I must come to your home. And the Lord says the same thing to us. Even in our sinfulness and our wretchedness, if we can just put off the world a bit and seek Him. People often ask, why are some people Christians, some people not? Why does God reveal Himself to some and not to others? He wants everyone to come, but He doesn't force them. He waits for a heart to desire something higher and beautiful. And if they're willing to climb a tree, humble themselves, be mocked by the world, He will say to you and me, come down and be with me. So encouraging for all of us who are sinners, myself first among you. And of course, he comes in, he welcomes him, doesn't say, great, Jesus is here, I'm all good. No, repentance continued. Lord, forgive me, he says. I give half my goods to the poor. Half. And we struggle to tithe. Many of you are hassled by the idea of giving 10% to the church. It's an ancient Christian custom. Ancient Christians gave way more. They gave everything. So look at his response to his repentance. He gave half. And the church asks you to give 10% to the church to help the needs of the church and to give to the poor freely. A repentant heart doesn't have to be told to give. It wants to give. And then he said, in addition to the half, he said, and if I have betrayed anybody falsely or stolen, I restore it fourfold. So what he took illegally or what he skimmed up the top, he restored it multiplied by four. It's a lot more than tithing. That's what a repentant heart is. All of us should love to give to the church, love to give to the poor. That's only going to happen if you realize that you were lost and now you're found. And that Christ is, the church is your whole life. Without Christ's forgiveness, we're nothing. We're like fakers. We're like skeletons going around faking it with souls that are dead. But for a repentant person like the saints, like all of us can be, and you've all experienced it here, you should be so in awe of Christ and so in love, so thankful that your guilty conscience is gone because you can confess. That your passions are going away because you can fast. That your confusion in life is healed because you have a spiritual father to guide you who loves you and who knows all about you and loves you even more. This is such a precious gift to be an Orthodox Christian. We take it for granted. And I'll tell you, the more repentant your heart is, the more thankful you are to Christ, the less attached you are to your money. And you're freely willing to give it away. You want to give it away. It doesn't even begin to thank Christ for everything that he's done for you, for your salvation, repentant heart. The Lord says the most beautiful words at the end. Today, salvation has come to this house. When the priest comes and blesses your home, myself and Father Paul, he reads this prayer. And it references a prayer that Zacchaeus, salvation came, just as salvation came to that home, so bring it to this home, we say in the prayer. The priest reads at every house blessing annually every year. I end with a beautiful word by Saint Nikolai Vilimirovich. He's in the back, second from the back. This beautiful, they call him the new golden mouth of the church. I was able to go to his relics. He said, commenting about this today, so beautiful, listen to what he says. Today salvation has come to this house. Thus it was spoken by the one whose word is life and joy and restoration of the righteous. Just as the bleak, dark forest clothes itself into greenery and flowers by the breath of spring, so does every man, every person, regardless of how dry or arid or darkened they are by sin, so do they become fresh and youthful from the nearness and the breath of Christ. For the nearness of Christ is like the nearness of some life-giving and fragrant oil, which restores health, increases life, and gives fragrance to the soul, to the thoughts and words of a man. In other words, distance from Christ means decay and death, and his nearness means salvation and life. Today salvation has come to this house, said the Lord upon entering the house of Zacchaeus the sinner. Christ was the salvation that came, and Zacchaeus was the house. Zacchaeus' heart was the house into which he entered. Brothers and sisters, each one of us is a house in which sin dwells as long as Christ stays distant, and to which salvation comes when you let Christ approach it. Nevertheless, will Christ approach my house and your house? That depends on us. Behold, he did not enter randomly or arbitrarily into the house of the sinner Zacchaeus. No, rather he entered as a most desired guest. Zacchaeus, the sinful person of little stature, climbed into a tree in order to see the Lord Jesus with his own eyes. Zacchaeus yearned for him. Zacchaeus therefore sought him. Zacchaeus desired him. Brothers and sisters, we must also seek him in order to find him and desire him. Why? In order that he would draw nearer to us, and that with our spirit we would climb higher to encounter his beautiful glance. Then truly, brothers and sisters, even sinners as we are, he will visit our house of our hearts as he visited Zacchaeus, and with him salvation will come. Draw near to us, O Lord, draw near to us and bring to us your eternal salvation. To him be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen.